You feel nervous.
Nervous now.
Because it's like a real TV program, yes?
Yeah, it's like...
Silly Conversations, the podcast. Your host, Denzel Mills.
Okay, I'm going to start podcasting people. Today we have a person who's never been a student of mine. A person I've only met twice now in all this time. But I think she's very interesting and she has, I'm sure she has some interesting things to tell us as well for your fantastic entertainment. And I'm going to start now and I'm going to get her name wrong. She's going to correct me 1,000 times, but I'm going to introduce you to Sladana.
No. Sladana. You pronounce it Sladana.
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 We can see how many times I get this wrong. Sladana. Okay. So I'm going to introduce you to Sladana and she's going to introduce herself to podcasting world. So my friend, welcome to Silly Conversations. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Denzel, for inviting me here. So yeah, my name is Sladana. I'm Croatian by origin, but I grew up in Italy since I was 6 years old. And then 6 years ago, I came here in Spain, Valencia, basically to live here, as many of us. And so, yeah, this is already like an interesting question, difficult question. I think it's tricky because when you normally ask someone who they are to introduce herself, they immediately say, oh, I'm a teacher, I am this and that. You know, you introduce yourself by your job.
Yeah, I think it's easier for people to kind of maybe understand people by their functions. And I think sometimes people like that idea because obviously if you're, I don't know, an engineer or a lawyer, it sounds very nice as well, status-wise. But you could also introduce yourself and just say, I'm a nice person.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think, yeah, it's normal. It's easier for someone. And also if someone has like work hard for having this job, this career, this role, you know, it's, they're proud to say I'm an engineer, I'm a teacher, but that's not me. I'm like, I think I'm a kind person. And yeah, basically, what I'm doing here in Valencia, I work as a manager in a restaurant. Mm-hmm.
So before we get to the whole work things, because I think the first time I met you, I sent you a photo because it was in a, I was watching a band or something and I took some photos.
Yeah.
And that was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And then the second time was because I saw you were doing something on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this woman's English is very good. Because I didn't even know that you spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spoke to you or we talked about doing the podcast or I explained the podcast that I'm doing. And you very nicely said, yes, you will give me some of your time. So that's how we actually met. She's never been a student of mine. We haven't known each other for a very, very long time. And it was just one of these casualties of life, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. I think we met like, it was maybe 4 years ago. Yeah, probably. And so we don't know each other. So I think this conversation, it's going to be really interesting, you know, because we can really explore what we think, what we do, and how we go through life, you know, basically. I'm not just a manager, a restaurant manager. I did a yoga teacher training here in Valencia. Then recently I did also a shiatsu course, which is basically like a Japanese treatment. So, yeah, I think I'm doing many things and just trying.
So let's focus a little bit on the kind of how can I say, health side of things, to be quite honest, because I don't know if I've ever spoken to anybody or said to anybody on the podcast that I've done, I used to do yoga, and I'm quite interested in a lot of things like what people would call alternative medicine, or maybe in the past, because I'm old, you see, and in the old days, people used to call it alternative medicine. So I'm quite interested in some of these things. So were you interested in these things like yoga, shiatsu, before you moved to Valencia?
Yeah, to answer this question, I should go like 10 years ago in the past to introduce myself, because I studied political science in Italy.
Right.
I was young and I want just, you know,
hang
say
on a
the
minute.
Word.
Hang on. I was young. You're still young, woman. You're still young.
I'm younger.
That's it. You were younger.
Let's say I was younger. Yeah, I was like younger. I was younger, innocent, maybe a little bit naive also. So I wanted to change the world. I wanted to change the system, change the things, you know, fight the system from the inside, basically. That was the plan. But then as soon as I started studying, going to university, you know, studying, I realized that would be like too much for me, like really a big plan, really big, something bigger than I could do. And also that I just could change myself. I couldn't change the world, basically. That would be too much, too difficult. So slowly I started to explore maybe different perspectives of also what media were telling us, also what, you know, what's like the normal way of healing, you know, just going to a doctor, taking some medicines. You know, I wanted to go beyond the what's the system, what's everybody's doing. So I started on my own a little bit studying alternative, as you say, medicines, ancient type of healing, such as Ayurveda or Chinese traditional medicine. So that's basically how I started. I started, you know, learning, reading by myself.
Yeah, but was it because you had some kind of illness? Because, for example, you said you have this interest in traditional Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out and started to get involved in traditional Chinese medicine just because of some certain things that used to happen, you know, muscle contractions all the time. I used to spend a lot of time going to physios and, well, people. I'm not a sick person, okay? But, you know, maybe when I was younger doing sports and things, I didn't look after my body. So you had some of the effects. And going to physios and people like this helped, but it didn't really help. And I wanted to know why was certain things occurring. Then I read something about Chinese medicine, how it looks at the holistic side, not the solving the problem, but solving the cause of the problem.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of got into Chinese medicine. So I don't know if it was something similar for you.
No, that's something I don't remember why exactly and how exactly I started doing this. Mm-hmm. I think it was just some kind of internal process and thinking and asking myself why things happen, you know, why it happens, why. And how it happened. So maybe I just jumped into a blog of someone. I remember I was reading a blog about alternative healing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just jumped into this, or I was just curious. I have always been a curious person. So maybe I was just wanting to know the cause of things and, you know, just curious how things happen, how also I was hearing that many diseases were increasing, and why it is happening, why it was different.
But for example, in my kind of interest in Chinese medicine kind of started on the crossover from me coming from the UK and living in moving to Spain. And in the UK, there was quite a lot of, I say a lot of interest in alternative medicine. But I don't know in Italy, if there was, when you were there and when you were finding out, was there a lot of interest or was it kind of difficult?
Well, no. Yeah, maybe there was, it was just a starting point where, you know, I think it wasn't that common, you know, everybody goes to a doctor and they prescribe you medicines. But I was also younger, let's say younger. So I couldn't even get in contact with that many people around this field. But I think I just did it through internet. I was just, you know, looking for alternatives because I was realizing, you know, when you take some medicines, they always have some, how I say?
Like the side effects or?
The side effects, yeah. And yeah, I just wanted to explore a different way of things. And also because I think I was, that's how I am. I was being like curious of trying, experimenting different things.
But at that time, with the people around you, because obviously it sounds like you were saying you were trying to find a little bit yourself.
Yeah.
And then we have people around us who fit into the stereotype things, basically what is normal in society. So trying to find a little bit about who you are or your interests, was it difficult for the people around you, family, friends, brothers, sisters, did they think you were going nuts or something?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what was happening. Also because I, growing up as a, you know, as a immigrant kid, you know, I always felt like different. So when I was younger, like a little child, that was really difficult for me. You know, when you're a kid, you want to integrate with other people, with other kids, and be part of a group. But then growing up, I realized that I would never be like, as you know, how do you say,
the same as them.
The same as them. Yeah, basically. I will always be different. I kind of, got more comfortable about being different. So I really, accepted, you know, accepted. And I was good. I was okay feeling different. So maybe I wanted like really going really different, more, even more different than other people. So I wanted to be more alternative than other people, not going.
Podcasting people. You don't see these things, but we had some technical difficulties. And hopefully we have the first part of the recording. We were talking about the whole idea of getting involved in traditional medicine or alternative medicine. Yeah, but remember you were saying it was just a bit strange in terms of maybe your friends and family were looking at you and thinking, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, first of all, I wasn't like afraid of sounding strange to people because I was talking about these things because I was being like, you know, different from other people, different from kid, because as I was growing up as a immigrant child, I got to be comfortable about being different. So I was just generally interesting in alternative and traditional healings. So yeah, I just started learning, reading some stuff, and applying in my life, on my health. I mean, my and also my ex-boyfriend. It was just like
somebody to practice on.
Somebody to practice on, exactly. So I was, but not just him. So he wasn't my. So yeah, I was started to learn about this and talking about this with my family, with my mom, and they actually like it. You know, they got interested in that. They started asking me some some advices mm-hmm. at point that they were like having some issues, some
health issues,
health issues, feeling a little bit sick. I started asking me things, and I was just sometimes I was just I'm not a doctor. I'm just learning about stuff. But with my friends, we weren't talking about that too much. But it was interesting because before I was using medicines, and since I started using herbs and different healing, they were like, whoa, something.
Have you ever tried, because we spoke briefly about traditional Chinese medicine. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried the herbs from traditional Chinese medicine?
No, I never.
Oh, you're telling you right. This is, I mean, now they've banned, I think, the importation mm-hmm. of herbs from a long time ago. Okay. But I used to go to a herbalist she used to do acupuncture and everything. And you know, when they take your pulse, mm-hmm. and say they do an examination. Yeah. So they take your pulse, they look at your tongue, mm-hmm. they look at your eyes, etc. Mm-hmm. And she used to make some concoctions. I'm telling you, she used to make like this concoction, which is like you just put everything in your mind into a pot with some water. Mm-hmm. Then you boil it. And then she kind of says for 1 month or something like that, you kind of drink this, morning and afternoon. And it was like mm-hmm. drinking. It was like going to the fields and digging a small hole and taking all the dirt from the hole, mm-hmm. putting it in a pot, putting some water on it, and then drinking it. That's what the taste was like. But you would not believe the effects. I'm telling you, the effects were, it's the best effect I've had. I've done acupuncture, Tai Chi, acupression, these kind of things. But in terms of results, Chinese herbs, for me personally, maybe some other people haven't had so much good results, but for me, it was like fantastic.
Yeah. I recently heard about a girl, a friend that tried traditional medicine when she was living in China, mm-hmm. and the healing effect were like so amazing. Also because she had this disease, this problem for her entire life. So hearing her, like how it went and what she was taking, and that was really disgusting, but the healing was impressive. So
it's like the balance though, because I mean something physical, if you have a torn muscle, if you have maybe something which needs an operation, that kind of thing obviously is not going to help. If you have maybe consistent things, and maybe there's like an imbalance in the body, because they talk about the yin and yang, and each organ has its own energy,
mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's about balancing those energies across the different parts. It's the kidney or the spleen. I think in Spanish it's el bazo. I'm not too sure. And the lungs, and balancing those energies,
exactly.
And then basically looking at the person holistically.
Yeah, because that's the point. Because I think Chinese medicine or Ayurveda or any other traditional medicine or in holistic medicine, it's good on really the preventive side and also understanding the whole body. Also, especially maybe some disease that have been there for a really, really long time. Yeah, but when you have like a broken leg, that's when you need like Occidental Eastern medicine.
So you have started training in terms of Reiki.
It's shiatsu.
Shiatsu.
Yeah, that's Japanese.
And the thing I've never. Listen, people. It's not that I go around looking for alternative medicines to try, I don't think I've ever tried or ever had to try shiatsu. So explain a little bit about that.
It's interesting because when I started the training, I never tried shiatsu. I mean, literally, I never tried them on myself. I practiced karate also, and I was being like interested in Western medicine and culture. I was just generally interested to try it. I was just really fascinated about how it works and also had some free time. So I said, why not, you know? And so I just started. I did a training here in Valencia first, in the Maya Center. And since the beginning, I just love it. I felt that it's something really that can be part of myself, can be mm-hmm. part of my life, that something that really resonates with me. And because it's different, something really, it's really gentle, but it goes in deep, you know?
Yeah. And that's... You did the training. So first of all, you speak Croatian and Italian and mm-hmm. English and Spanish. When you were doing the classes or the mm-hmm. training for Shiatsu, obviously this was in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And there are words or terminology that obviously is translated from Japanese to English to Spanish to mm-hmm. Italian. So how difficult was it in terms of learning? Because obviously vocabulary, one thing I suppose it's physical. You can see where you need to position yourself or your hands, etc. But then there's also the explanation. So how was that? I mean, was it super difficult? Or
yeah, that's a good question. But I actually faced this problem when I was doing the yoga teacher training, because I did it before. I did it like it was 3 years ago, I think. So yeah, it was difficult. Also was something that was like pulling me out from starting mm-hmm. it, because I was like, oh, I need to study in Spanish. I never studied in Spanish. I just read some books. But it was something that was, worrying.
Attracts you, something that attracts you, yeah?
Yeah, but it was something that was worrying me about, because I didn't want to be left, like, be left behind, you know?
Yeah.
So was something was worrying me, and but I did it anyway. And of course I learned some new vocabularies. Sometimes I was just, you know, we were during the class and the teacher was explaining stuff, and sometimes I couldn't understand some vocabulary, some words. I was feeling afraid of asking what does it mean. So sometimes I was writing down the word and Googling it, or asking to a teacher after class. But
because in this class, you were probably, I'm just assuming, maybe you were the only non-native Spanish person.
Yeah, yeah? Exactly. I was the only one. So there were words about anatomy or normal vocabulary words that I never faced, I never find before. But yeah, that's the way you learn, you know. There's no other way.
And the funny thing about that, I remember commenting to you that the first time I did like a yoga class, mm-hmm. I was always about 20 seconds or 30 seconds behind everybody else. So I just didn't know the vocabulary. And so I had to like watch what people were doing, then try and do it and keep an eye when they were changing to the other things. Yeah. So that was kind of like the kind of funny thing doing or learning as you kind of went along, you know?
That's something that used to happen to me when I started karate, because obviously there were new words, new vocabulary that I'd never found before. You know, it's sport. It's something that I never did before in Spain. So I always felt like behind, and I was also watching other people, what they're doing, and asking to my
partners. But do you think now, because this is another strange thing, there's like vocabulary, because now you've got vocabulary in terms of anatomy and maybe in terms of certain position or anatomy, and then things like from karate, etc. And then there's like, when you have normal everyday conversations with people, there are words you don't know, you know, so you can talk about the body and then something very simple, like the name of something in a shop or maybe even just a food. And it's like, you have no idea because you've never had to use that word.
It happens. It's really, really funny. It's really funny. Exactly. And sometimes I just pretend I understand. I know it's not a good technique, but I just, you know, I can understand the whole talk context, so I don't need to understand every word to understand
exactly what, that's what the key thing, the context
what's saying to me. So I'm just pretending that I'm understanding. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I really need to ask, like, oh, can you repeat? Or can
but again,
you...
that yeah, but again, because that word may have the importance in terms of understanding, but in terms of like the context, sometimes talk to people. I say, okay, you know, I went to see the film and I saw the film in Spanish. And you kind of come out and they said, how was the film? And I thought, well, I understood about 50%. Okay. But obviously with the image and maybe having a bit of background understanding, etc. So you don't enjoy it as much as maybe your native language, but it shouldn't be a hindrance or a hindrance. It shouldn't stop you from at least trying. And sometimes a lot of people say to me, oh, well, I don't understand anything. And it's like, well, because you're trying to understand every single thing rather than understand the context of what's going around. And that's the most important thing, I think, as adults. I think as adults, especially when we're learning a language, we need to kind of understand that we don't need to be or we can't be the expert we are in our own language, in our own profession.
Yeah.
We need to kind of step back a bit and try to look at things contextually, because that's how we learn.
Yeah, that's something that always like worried me, because I, in my adult life, at least since I'm here, because especially in the beginning, I was struggling understanding people, because they were, you know, speaking another vocabulary, another slang that I didn't learn on books. So
that's because you're young, you see. You're with all the young people now, and that's why the young people use different vocabulary and slang.
Flipar. I couldn't understand what it means, flipar, and it's really funny. Flipar en colores. Exactly. It was so funny. So at the beginning, what I was doing was like basically pretending that I was understanding, and then when nobody was watching me, I was Googling, I was searching on the internet. What does it
mean? You were saying, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom and say, Google.
Exactly.
What's the fliparin colores
mean? In the middle of the service, in the middle of the work, I was just searching on my phone. But sometimes I needed really to ask, what does it mean? I was just... But yeah, it was difficult because I was afraid of being not, or feeling like less, feeling like not enough for that work, for, you know, just to be on that position, to have the work. I was feeling to not be able to do the work.
Yeah. And just to finish off the part of the shiatsu, I don't know how long in terms of getting that basic... Mm-hmm. I don't know, understanding or qualification. Obviously, the more you practice, then you build up your experience. But in terms of the training process, initial training process, how long is that beginning training process?
Well, that's a good question, because actually in shiatsu, it's different. It's different from here, because they're in Japan. It's recognized from the health. How do you say?
Health ministry.
Health ministry. So it's actually they study at the university. It's an university career that takes 4 years.
Yeah. So it's a university degree.
It's a degree, exactly. It's a degree. It takes 4 years and lots of practice. Here in Spain, well, I started here in Valencia doing like a basic course, and then this year, I started studying in Madrid at the Escuela Japonesa Shiatsu, which is a really, really good school, and it's recognized by the Shiatsu University from Japan, and it takes 10 months in total. It depends on which training are you doing, because I was doing the intensive one, which takes like 10 months, on which you have class once a month, like on the weekends.
Yeah.
8 days, 8 hours per day. And so it would take like 2 years, well, like 1 year, 10 months. And they also suggest, they recommend also to do the masterclass.
Right.
Which takes another year. So a total would be like 2 years to having a appropriate certificate. Yeah.
And in this process, do they encourage you to practice on people?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
going to book my session.
Yeah, whenever you want.
Yeah. I'm going to book my session.
They actually do it also because that one first thing that you learn in Shiatsu that there are no side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So you can practice on people and you can't harm anyone, even if you're still in training.
Yeah.
If you're still in training, yeah, exactly. So they actually we need to do like 180 hours of training with people practicing. So you can practice with your family, with friends, with people. You can also have some clients. That's on you. But of course, you need to inform people that you're still training because you can't harm them, but maybe they can get an idea of Shiatsu that it's not correct, you know?
Right.
They might say, oh, this doesn't work. This is different than I was thinking, you know, because you're still training. So
yeah.
It's not the actual thing, you know.
Yeah. And the other thing is,
therapy.
Do you, I suppose, being Shiatsu, using your kind of hands and trying to get a sensation of the energies of people, do you sometimes, I don't know if it's happened with maybe somebody you've practiced on, do you sometimes get like a negative sensation from people or maybe not people you're practicing on, because she never does that, but the very fact that maybe you're sitting talking to people and in the proximity being close to that person, do you sometimes sense their energy and you think, oh, I don't like this?
Yeah, that's something that happens to me. Not always. I mean, maybe sometimes. Yes, it's something about talking about energies and in general. I really believe in it. It's not just believing it. I know that we are not just material beings. We are mainly energy. That's what science says to us. That's what quantum physics says to us. So I'm really, really, that's something that I'm really interested in. So I really feel this energy from people. I really try to trust that feeling, that gut feeling that I feel about people.
So I'm gonna stop you here.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to put myself in these situations. And generally, I don't edit them out. So you can answer or choose not to answer. So when we met and we had a chat about, you know, doing the podcast, did you get a bad vibe, an okay vibe, or no vibe?
I got a good vibe.
Yes, people. I give good vibes. Yeah, give good vibes.
I think it's something that you perceive, you can get also through even just chatting with someone as we did, or not just when you meet someone, because when you meet, maybe it's easier because you can perceive this energy, because we don't have just six senses. We have more than six. Some experts say that we have like 70 or something. So we can perceive this energy from the people. And sometimes we also need to, like a shell to protect our energy from these people, because it can be really draining. We can absorb this energy negativity. We can feel sad about after meeting that person. So we need to stay grounded and positive. But yeah, as I said, we can perceive this energy also by messages.
Again, thinking retrospectively, when you've practice some Shiatsu on somebody, have you felt really, really drained, a lack of energy? Has it been once or twice? Is it always? I don't know what the practitioner feels after doing the shiatsu sessions. Do they feel very energy-less? Do they feel, I don't know, very euphoric?
Well, first of all, I need to be clear that shiatsu is not just kind of energy transmission to other person, because it's more like you can also perceive the other people's energy, but you're actually working with the body of the person, not just the body, but you are helping these people to activate their inner self-healing through working the meridians, through working some points and parts of the person.
But that's what I mean in the sense of, I think maybe, I don't know, sometimes I think my meridians could be very blocked. I'm sure there was a time when they were like blocked, like cement encased in boxes of steel and locked.
Yeah.
So as a practitioner, you say you're trying to work physically the muscle structure, the joints, the energy, and the meridians, the internal energy of that person, which means you have to obviously apply some of your being, your person to that person. And then when you finished, have you been like super, super drained?
I think I never felt really, really drained. Maybe a little bit tired, of course, when you do longer sessions. Especially if you don't position, but it's something that teachers always point out, that we need to really take care of our position as a practitioner. Take care of
our position body. Or posture.
Posture. So is it posture? How we while we're doing the practice. So I never felt that much drain. I sometimes felt like, as I said before, I'm like, I was not liking that person, you know. I was not liking their energy, but anyway, I had to practice with that person. It happened just a few times, but I always try to, first of all, ground myself, being with myself, being like kind of doing kind of meditation before I start, so I can ground myself, and then I can be positive, and I can also send this positive energy to other person. So it's something that's really important, that the other person can feel about you. If you're not calm, if you feel insecure about what you're doing. So I think that's something really, really important before.
So one of the things that always gets me, because like, you know, if you go to a chiropractor or you go to a physio or somebody, and you know when somebody says to you, just relax, and then your body, as much as you try to relax, it's impossible, because that word just relax suddenly creates all the tension in the world. So I understand that. And what you were saying about you have to do the work, and the idea of psychologically getting tired. I have good groups. I've had one or two students that I haven't really enjoyed going to and doing classes with. So that's the reason why I asked you that question, because go from one person to another person to another person. And there are times when, one or two times when I really haven't enjoyed teaching somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, and even though maybe I'm not physically manipulating the person or physically doing something myself, that's kind of psychological hard work just to get somebody engaged. And you do it week in, week out for a whole year. It's a killer. A killer. And then you have other people then that give you the energy. So you find someone else that gives you the energy and makes that enjoyable. So it's kind of hard work dealing with people.
Yeah, you know? It's really hard work with dealing with people. Fortunately, doing shiatsu, I never had that much struggle. And also people, you know, in general, they did really just enjoy it, you know. That.
Yeah, yeah.
There would never be happened that one person told me, no, I didn't like it. they really enjoyed it, and people just felt really relaxed. And yeah,
good,
they just
enjoyed. So podcasting people, when. I'm going to say your name again now. Okay. Hang on. I'm just trying to mentalize myself. Zalanda. No. Repeat your name, please.
Okay. I mean, it's easy. Okay, no, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. So, Sla.
Sla.
Da.
Da.
Ja.
Da.
Ja.
Ja. Oh, it's ja.
Yeah.
Sla. Ja.
Na.
Slajana.
Slajana. Exactly.
Slajana. Okay, Slajana. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my first class in how to pronounce in Croatian. Okay. She will be back next month for another class to help me to say a full sentence. When Slajana becomes a professional and she's qualified, she will come back and she will then promote herself on the podcast and you all go to her. Everybody, all 25 listeners. That's 25 in the future, not 25 now. I haven't got 25 now. Maybe 25 in the future. But they will go to you and I will direct
them. I hope to.
Sure.
I hope to.
So my friend, I mean, that's interesting. That's more, to be quite honest, that's more just out of my interest. I find it very fascinating what you do and I could ask you more questions. But in general, how is life here for you? Because you said you're a manager in a restaurant. You said you do karate. I've seen you. You said you were doing some yoga classes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were teaching. And I wouldn't say you're somebody who is super big on Instagram and things like that. But it's just one or two things I've seen you post. Hence the reason why we're here talking in English. But how's life here for you generally?
Well, it's good.
I mean, it's even better now. It's even better now because we're connected, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing something interesting and funny. So in general, it's good. I mean, life is good. It wasn't easy in the beginning, of course. I gone through a lot of struggles at the beginning. Well, first of all, I came here with my ex-boyfriend. So for one side, it was kind of easier, you know, not going to foreign country alone, but even though I've gone through a lot of struggle, difficulties, because it was my second immigration, actually.
Yeah.
So I felt again not integrated. I felt a stranger again. I felt so many feelings, emotions that I experienced as a child in Italy. I hadn't so many friends. Well, actually, I never had a big, big group of friends, never in Italy too. But I really struggled to make friends here. I actually made my friend, was 3 or 4 years old. Because I think, well, it was a mix of things, you know.
Yeah.
Because of work, because I'm an introvert, also because I don't really get into a big social things, events. So it was not easy.
Yeah. And I suppose also as well, it's the second time you're learning a language because you got from Croatia to Italy, then Italian, exactly. And then also now Italian to Spanish. And where did the English thing come in? Because you're kind of cool. You're very good at this. So where did the whole English language side of things come in? I should just say, ladies and gentlemen, she had 4 classes with me and then this is the results. That's what I should say. But I'm going to be honest.
It was
6 intensive classes.
Really intensive classes. Really great for that.
I just transmitted the amount of energy I transmitted into this woman.
Yeah.
You would not believe.
You just transmitted like telepathically.
Exactly. Exactly. And look at her now. Huh? Amazing. Tell us your English story.
So, yeah, I think the language barrier also was something real that prevented me to make. I mean, I was good. I had a good level of Spanish. But, yeah, I think it was a mix of things that prevented me to make friends. English, well, I always studied English, you know, in Italy. Studied English at, you know, at 6 at school, at the elementary school. Then at the high school, I studied tourism and foreign languages. So I continued studying English, also the university. But even though I never had that good speaking skills, since I've never actually practiced it a lot, you know, just at school, maybe listening some music. But I always been like interested in learning languages and learning about different cultures. So since I came here, actually, I started having some English speaking friends, listening to more podcasts, videos, music, and TV shows. Well, not TV shows, actually, series in English. Yeah, Netflix. Also, because I don't have a TV here in Spain, so I don't watch movies in Spanish. I watch Netflix basically. So that's how I started improving my English.
Yeah. But do you sometimes, because of your interests in terms of the health side of things, do you watch or do you listen to podcasts or things also in English around the subjects you are interested in terms of shiatsu and natural medicine and things like that?
Yeah, actually, always. I never watch things in Spanish or English or Italian, for example. Just before we started the podcast, the recording, to wire my mind into English, I was listening to a podcast with the presenter?
The guest.
The guest was Sadhguru. Sadhguru on, what was the name? The School of Greatness podcast. Do you know it?
No.
Okay. It's a very interesting podcast.
Okay. Well, I'll, yes, people, School of Greatness
podcast. Some competition for you.
I think, hang on, the School of Greatness. Hang on a minute. Let's go back. School of Greatness. Is it, a podcast which just talks about a general range of things? Or is it like a language-based, English language-based podcast?
No, it's general. It's really general.
It's no competition.
It's not competition.
Exactly. I mean,
they know nothing about English and learning language.
They actually know probably more than me, and that's why they can't compete with me, because it's just different levels. Mm-hmm. So then what's the future? Because you want to finish off your training in terms of shiatsu. Mm-hmm. I think, or I get the impression that for the moment, you're kind of settled here and finding your own space here. So I don't know what does the, let's say, near future look mm-hmm. like, or long term. You can choose near or long term future. Your choice.
Yeah. That's a good question. I actually struggle a little bit about making big plans, long-term plans. So for now, I feel comfortable here in Valencia. Sometimes I thought about going abroad or going to another city in Spain and experiment life there, because I've always been curious about the world, exploring the world, traveling, not just traveling, but just really living there, living life through another perspective, and so learn about another culture by living there.
Right.
But for now, I feel good here. I feel comfortable here. I'm actually creating my life here. I'm feeling good because I'm finding some peace here. So I'm finding some time for myself to create my future and create my, you know, my dreams, to pursue my dreams, chase my dreams and do what I actually like, what I enjoy, and experiment, you know, my interests and my passions.
So I think this is very important then. Maybe I'm not going to book a shiatsu a shiatsu session with you, just in case. Once I start back into whole classes and everything and companies, maybe I'll get a bit stressed and maybe I won't book a session with you, not to disturb your nice rhythm of peace and finding yourself at the moment. We'll see.
We'll see. I hope you can find some peace and some relaxation with a shiatsu. Or you can go to another one, to another practitioner. That's all new.
Well, because you're here, and part of the whole thing will be to say, listen, this was a guest. This was somebody who does this thing. Have that experience. And then you can tell them how bad I am. We can get back together in, I don't know, 6 months' time, a year's time or something like that, just to see how you're doing.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
And also the future in terms of this whole podcast, maybe when we do a video podcast, you know, you can be a guest on a video podcast. Just to kind of finish off, because we've planned a certain amount of time, I think it's been really, really interesting to find out. To be quite honest, we could talk for a lot longer, but like I said, I like to keep to my times, and I want to thank you very, very much for your time. It's been super interesting, and there's still many more things I want to know. And also, I think off camera or off air, I'll tell you even more about my experience with the Chinese herbs. it's like really cool. At the moment, you're happy. You're in the process of finding yourself. You have your activities. We haven't talked about your work, but anyway, but you have your activities and you have your job and you are finding your space here in Valencia. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm also so happy to be here. So glad to have this opportunity to have this conversation for you with you. And of course, I'm also interested about you. Maybe sometimes I'm going to do some questions to you. I'm going to interview you.
We could do... Oh, that's a good idea. I haven't thought about that. We could do the reverse.
Yeah.
We could do the reverse.
That would be interesting.
I would have to vet questions first, though.
Let's see. I'm gonna ask.
Oh, that's a good idea. I haven't thought about that, to be quite honest. Well, that is something to kind of consider. I think we'll kind of call it a day here. It's been very, very nice. Very, very interesting. Thank you very much for your time. And I think I do like the idea of reversing the narrative, to be quite honest. So
I think it's going to be interesting.
I think it will be interesting, and it could be something very soon. And podcasting people, if I do go for a shiatsu session, I will tell you about it. And if I'm super energetic, it's because of this woman. And if I'm just slow and negative, it's because all my chakras are blocked completely, forever, for life. Thank you very, very much for your time. We'll be in touch. And remember, yeah, all this from just taking a photo and giving you a photo.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's where everything happened.
Exactly. Thank you very much for your time. And we'll catch up and we'll see you soon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Denzel. Thank you for your time. Hope you have a good day.
The voices and the names have been changed in this podcast to protect the wicked. For any grammar, information, or correction, please ask someone else, not me.